Audio Drama Production Podcast Episode 34. How do I convey thought in audio drama?
The Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast, the podcast you could find in its home online at audiodramaproduction.com. And we are the weekly show that aims to help you create great audio drama. My name's Matthew, and I'm joined today, as always, by Robert.
Bonjour.
Buongiorno.
Yeah, I only speak one language, and that's English.
Yeah. So, bit of a last-minute change of plan this week, Robert, because we were going to play an interview, but our friend Steve, listener Steve in Boston, love Steve, he sent a wee clip in and it was really interesting and it got us chatting and we decided to focus the episode on that particular subject this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a listen to this over the weekend and, as you say, we decided there was enough to be had from it, and rather than just stick it at the back of something else or stick something else at the back of this, let's make this episode all about the clip from Steve. And I think, why don't we fire into it?
Let's do that.
Hey guys, how are ya? It's Steve from the greater Boston area, USA, planet Earth, Milky Way galaxy. I just wanted to bring up a topic. It's really a subtopic of narration that you guys didn't really touch on way back in episode 3 of the Audio Drama Production Podcast when you discussed narration. And that's basically how to convey thoughts through sound in audio drama. But first, just in general, my feelings about narration, I'm not nearly as opposed to the use of narration in audio drama as some other people seem to be. I don't think it's necessarily a taboo thing. I can understand some of the opposition would be it falls into the realm of showing rather than telling rather than showing. Or it might slow down the story and so on and so forth. Or it turns it more into an audio book rather than an audio drama. We should be showing the action as it happens instead of just summarizing it through exposition or in narration. I don't think any of these things necessarily have to happen with the use of narration. I think narration can be used quite effectively in audio drama. For instance, with Christoph's The Leviathan Chronicles, that was heavily narrated, but I never felt that that story was not an audio drama. I never felt like it crossed over into just being more of an audio book that was augmented through sound effects and so forth. It is absolutely an audio drama. And I think especially in scenes where there was a lot of action happening all at once, for instance, like a chase scene, I think Christoph made very good use of this, what I call like the flying narration. It's kind of giving you the play-by-play of what's happening as it's happening. You know, for example,
Ascension leaned the bike out to the left and rounded the corner onto 6th Avenue. Sirens blared to his left and right as the city's police had obviously been alerted that a motorcycle chase was now taking place in Midtown Manhattan. But the police were the least of Senshin's concern. He pushed the bike harder, redlining at 12,000 RPMs in third gear. The stoplight ahead had turned red, but Senshin pushed the bike through in time to avoid the oncoming traffic. The police in pursuit were not as lucky and smashed into a FedEx truck going across 52nd Street.
So I think that was quite well done. I never felt lost. I never felt confused as what's happening, and I never felt like it slowed the story down. It was actually quite helpful for me to visualize what was going on as it was happening, as opposed to having to try to reconstruct it afterwards. Sometimes with audio drama, with the big action scenes or fight scenes or scenes with multiple characters in the same room, it can get a little bit confusing or unclear as far as who's doing what to whom and when. Now, one of the things that makes audio drama different from like a visual medium, like a film, is a limitation, I would say, is that through film, you can convey character emotions and feelings through their gestures, through their facial expressions. But in audio drama, you just have the voice itself. So there's really nothing you can do with gestures and facial expressions because you can't see anything. However, I think one thing that can be a strength of audio drama that is not often utilized is conveying the thoughts of the character, which really you can't do very effectively in film. I haven't seen it used very often. Whereas in a purely literary medium like literature itself, that's used very often. You can see what characters are thinking, particularly with an omniscient narrator. You can dive right into the mind of a character and you actually get an understanding of what they're thinking. And that's something that you can do in audio drama as well, as long as you're using a narrator. For example,
he couldn't take his eyes off her shapely curves. Those long, supple legs filled him with an immense longing. The flame of his desire grew ever hotter the longer he stared at her muscular thighs, and then the round, bulbous fullness of her shapely buttocks. No doubt she could take load after load. She was the finest pack mule he had ever laid eyes on.
Okay, so that's one way to do it, is through a narrator. Another way I've seen it done, which I'm less of a fan of, is through this kind of like reverbery thought bubble thing. Like, okay, just picture with me. Just imagine just we're standing on a city sidewalk right now, okay? Okay, here we are. Hey, watch it, buddy! Okay, we're standing on a city sidewalk, and approaching us are two men in business suits, and we're walking side by side down the sidewalk. Let's see what happens with them.
Looking good today, Mr. Winston.
Feeling good, Smithers.
I must say, your presentation to the board was incredible. Very convincing, sir.
Thank you, Smithers.
And I'm just proud to count myself as one of your employees, Mr. Winston.
Of course you are, Smithers. Of course you are.
God, can't stand that insufferable bootleg. Could he have laid it on any thicker? Can't even walk to a business luncheon without having his nose planted halfway up my...
Okay, so aside from those two ways of doing it in conveying thoughts and feelings, I'm not quite sure how else to do it. On the one hand, I feel like it can be very effective to use sound to convey thoughts and the thoughts and feelings of the characters. And it kind of gives you another tool in the toolbox, so to speak, to convey your story more effectively in ways that film can't. However, I'm looking for a better way to do it. And aside from those two ways, I'm not sure how to convey the character's thoughts to the audience in a way that's not cheesy or that's overly narrational, if there's such a word. So I just wanted to throw it back to you guys. I don't know if you had any further insight or any of the listeners did, but that's something I would like to explore more and make use of, although I'm not quite sure of the most effective way to do that. So, yeah. All right.
Well, thanks very much, Steve. Really, really love that clip. Love Steve, as I said. And yeah, great to hear from him. And really interesting points. Thoughts, Robert?
A couple of thoughts, yeah. First of all, about narration. I know back in the day when we started, we decided against narration ourselves. Then we chucked in a little bit at the beginning of season two of Aftermath. Having listened to a few more audio dramas since then, and having revisited things like We're Alive and Leviathan Chronicles, and taking on board what Steve says, I reckon we'd get away with the odd bit of narration during some, you know, short, sharp bursts during action, like in the clip that we heard there in Leviathan Chronicles. And also, We're Alive, you know, he would just chuck in some words and suddenly he jumped to his feet and he ran across the room, blah, blah, blah. And that was it, you know. So if you're writing something that you think could be good narration and it's 20 words, break it down to 10 and just have precisely what you need and not a word more. And I think that would work pretty well.
I think it's a great example with the Leviathan Chronicles. I think it works so well for three simple reasons. It's very well written, it's very well read, and it's very well produced. I also think Steve's wee scene out in the street was really well executed, and that sort of thing could work as well. One thing I would say is that you'd really have to allow this for one character per scene and avoid head hopping, I think it's called in the writing world, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking this and he's thinking that and so on. Unless, of course, it was being used to really demonstrate something or for humorous impact or something like that.
Yeah, like one's thinking, oh, I wonder what they're thinking about. Are they thinking about this? What if they didn't like what I said earlier on? Blah, 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 blah. Then you cue the other one, they're going, ooh, ee, ooh, in their heads.
And it's a huge scene just because they're trying to, like, get the car keys and it's giving you all their thoughts.
Yeah. The other thing as well, rather than actually being inside the head, they could just pull away from the other person and mutter under their breath out loud. Okay, it's probably not quite what would happen in real life, but you would get away with it because it's audio, you know, like, oh, I can't believe it. He's saying that again. Oh, was that? Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, fine, you know, and maybe that it's the same sort of thing, thinking aloud, but not in a way that anyone else can hear, except for us dear listeners.
I don't think there's quite, as well, another point, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all rule. Hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with your story. What kind of story is it and what are you trying to tell? Many great audio dramas get by several series without openly conveying character thoughts. As far as I could tell, anyway, it might be something that's been done so subtly I just haven't picked up on it. But, you know, we mention Edict Zero every week. I can't remember, you know, any thoughts being conveyed on that.
No.
Apart from through action and dialogue and you know, the character themselves, you've got a lot of time to spend with them, so you kind of do know them really well.
Well, that's right. And narration, we've often said before, is used because there's not a lot of time to set out the stall and you've got to just get the information out there. Whereas in an hour-long episode of Edict Zero, yeah, you've got the time all right and you can judge them by their actions rather than their words, spoken or unspoken.
So I came up with some ideas just off the top of my head, not necessarily things I'm going to produce, but you know, I was thinking along the lines of if I wanted to go ahead and convey thought and maybe use a bit of narration, how would I go about it? So scenario number one, my protagonist is a washed up rock star, actor or some type of celebrity or ex-celebrity, and each episode involves he or she being in therapy where they'll recall the events of that week or even events from their past. So straight away you can set the scene, it's not a disembodied voice, and then you can go into your your dramatised part of the show. Number two, my protagonist is an ex-footballer or athlete, a failed writer or small-time crook. Each episode involves them being in the pub, talking to a friend who never replies, basically the listener. So they're sitting at a table with a listener, basically. Let me tell you about this week. Again, it's about, you know, the past week or from, you know, past experiences in their life in general, their youth, things like that. So you could go down that route. And scenario number three, my protagonist is a heroic barbarian in a fantasy realm who's given up the life of adventure to settle down in a small hamlet where they're now married with a young child. Each episode is a bedtime story to their son or daughter where tales are told of the world itself, the many quests, adventures and great wars they've gone on or fought in. So this is all retrospective action, allowing the main character to be the narrator, but purposefully they'll introduce a story by telling, but then we'd fade into a fully dramatised story itself. We could pop in and out of that, back to the character's narration if we need, you know, if we need to convey thought or things like that. When I was offered that $1 million record contract, the first thought in my mind was to go out and buy a car, etc. Disadvantages of this, I think. Your protagonist is now invincible as long as the story continues. So in the case of, like, the quest in Barbarian, would it be as exciting for the listener to follow these adventures if you know that basically they can't die?
Well, I think for most of us, we know that the hero's not going to die anyway, and most of the time they don't. So you could maybe get away with that. Somebody mentioned that about Datu. I think it was at Kessie that Datu was recalling a time when... let me just preface this. In We're Alive, the character known as Datu was recalling through his journal what had happened, a very perilous situation, and we didn't know if he was going to die, but then the fact that we were reading his journal afterwards, kind of made you think, oh, well, he's probably not going to die then because, the, you know, they've got his journal back. And I think it was Kessie mentioned that, that not kind of didn't spoil it, but just it occurred to her, shall we say.
Some other sort of method you could use, maybe a group of teenagers get together on a weekly basis and contact the spirit world through a Ouija board. Each spirit tells them their life story and how they ended up being dead. Maybe you could have a psychic detective haunted by the spirit of the victim whose case he's trying to solve. Or maybe your protagonist is literally a mind reader and can just read minds, and that's part of the story.
Interesting. Or a historian reading from a book or something like that as well. I like the idea of them being already dead, you know, whether it's through, you know, natural causes or from dying in the story. You don't know that, and it doesn't matter. So therefore, they could die at any point in the story. So that's quite interesting. Rather than, well, here I am talking about it, so I probably survive.
I mean, to sum up my thoughts on it, be creative, tailor everything to your story and characters. If you really want to pull something off, you can. That's the beauty of audio. Sometimes it might take a lot of thought, a lot of long walks, or even a lot of beer. But good ideas creep up on you when you're least expecting it. And you can always come up with something, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. Look for inspiration. And I think that we probably all have ideas and we don't realise we're having them. We just play little mini scenarios in our head. Oh, imagine if this happened, blah, blah, blah. And if you just stop and think, wow, could that be a good idea? Write it down. Grab it. Expand on it. Write little ideas around it. Think how you could turn it and twist it. And before you know it, you've got 7 books written.
The best place to iron out a plot detail or a problematic script is the shower, because you've just no access to your phone or any distractions, and you can just stand there and sort the whole thing out. The only distraction is the fancy soap Julia has that smells like it should be edible, and I'm always toying with, should I just taste a wee bit? But then I think, well, I can't win there, because if it is good, I don't want to be the guy who eats soap. So
yeah.
I think it's better that box is left locked, if you like.
Fancy soap, not even once. That's the motto. What's it called, anyway? I might try some, just for scientific purposes.
I think it's out that, you know, that shop that stinks.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
You know the ones.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those shops.
Okay, all natural stuff.
But anything else to add on that, Robert? I had a quote from the Radio Drama Handbook that I'd like to read out.
Well, there was one thought about the old on-mic, off-mic thing. You don't have to have it inside somebody's head with the huge reverb like we heard in Steve's clip just now. It could just be as simple as being slightly away from the mic because you're talking normally. And let's do a little scenario here, shall we? So if I was to say to you, hey, Matthew, what's our next series going to be about? What would you say?
Farming, the benefits of farming.
Right, and I might be... talking to you and you're talking to me about farming, and then I get really close up to the mic to show that I'm thinking inside my head, and I'm saying, oh god, I hope I can talk him into doing Doctor Who fan fiction, because actually I'm a really big fan of Doctor Who, all the Doctors, even the ones going back to the 60s. If only he would watch it and give it a chance, and then we could write stories and the characters are already established because somebody else wrote them first, and it's technically copying, but I love it. I don't want to do Doctor Who. What's that? Yeah, farming, brilliant. Dr. Farm. I mean, what? Farmville. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's the technique, as well as get really close up to the mic and you're on mic and you're in the head. And then normal acting, a little bit back, tiny little bit of reverb in the room, yada, yada, yada.
Because it's almost like you and the listener are in a conspiracy together, because you're whispering in their ear and the listener's thinking, ah, I'm in on this, but he's no. So yeah, it's another way of doing it.
I guess it's a cheap and quick way of doing it rather than using this dream sequence type reverb as well.
It's kind of, what's it called, breaking the fourth wall, is it? Is that the term that's used in television?
Oh, for when, that's
for when... they're involving the audience, if you like.
Yeah, when they sort of acknowledge, hey, and we're not even a real show, this isn't even reality, it's actually TV, huh?
Like, not to go off on a tangent, but at the very end of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, when, is it Friar Tuck or... Brian Blessed's dead in a cage. Friar Tuck maybe turns round and looks at the camera and says, let's go, or something. And you're like, what? We've got through this whole film and now you've acknowledged me.
And now it's the Muppets.
Yeah.
Mike McShane.
Was it
Yeah, he used to be on Whose Line Is It Anyway a lot.
Right.
In the 80s. I'm older than you. Yeah, Mike McShane or Mike Shane. I think it's Mike McShane. One of them. Anyway.
Shall I read that quote?
I don't know why I made that noise. Yes, read the quote quick.
Okay, page 104 of the Radio Drama Handbook, the book that was co-written by our very good friend, Mr. Richard Hand.
Are you going to read it in the style of Harvard referencing?
In the third person.
And like brackets and commas and semicolons and then the surname and the year and stuff.
So there was a wee quip in here that got me thinking just when I listened to Steve's quip, and it says, other audio writers take a slightly different perspective, and we could probably ignore that given that we haven't read the rest of the chapter up until now. But Scott Hickley and Robert Medea, sorry if I got his name wrong, insist that show don't tell is the rule for all good writing, but fine-tune this for audio drama by explaining that dialogue is showing for the ear and narration is telling. And I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, definitely. Think about it this way. How many films have you put on TV, on your TV, 20 minutes into the film, and you're still able a lot of the time to watch it and enjoy it if it's something you'd enjoy anyway? You might have missed 20 minutes, but you can actually work out what's going on. All right, so this must have happened, blah, blah, blah. And it's a bit like that with audio drama in general. You're listening to it and thinking, but what are they talking about? Oh, I get it. No, they haven't said explicitly, but I know that they're pointing at a body. You know, there's a scene in We're Alive. You can tell I've been listening to it a lot again recently because I keep coming up with things from it. But saying, oh, I'm sorry, I thought that was Paul. And then I think one of the characters says, no, that was Paul. And you just know they're pointing to a half-eaten corpse.
Yeah.
And they don't say, oh, look at that corpse and half the arm's missing and there's big chunks taken out of his face, possibly made by formerly human teeth.
Paul's teeth.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to say that. It's just, oh, wow, right, I get it. It's obvious.
Well, love to hear your thoughts on this subject. Get in touch as always, info@yapaudio.co.uk. Send us stuff like Steve did, because I love stuff like that. It's really good, and it provokes discussion, and we can hear everyone's thoughts on it. So don't delay. Get the recorder on, get something sent in, or even just email in, it's up to you.
And talk to us on the Facebook group, of course, because we're always on there. Every time I see a new member's asked to join, I go to click on it, and it's already been approved by either you or our other moderator.
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah. That it for this week?
Yeah. Yeah, you've spent the whole episode being a bit too off mic, but I think we'll get by with that.
Have I? Yeah. Because I keep looking around at you.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But never mind. It's just part of what we're trying to convey here.
That's right.
You're the voice in my head and I'm the person.
Oh, God, he keeps going off mic. Yeah. Aye, sorry about that. It's because I haven't got headphones and I can't hear myself.
So, last things last, your favourite segment of the week, Robert?
Oh, yes. I've decided I might do it in the style of Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars films, which no doubt you know. Let's have a look. Good Lord. The whole thing?
Well, it goes down to there.
Yeah,
it's not a huge email. It's, okay. it's a bit less than Baroma Williams last week.
Okay. Grab 12,000 shed plans inside. Open now.
Can I just stop you there then? 12,000 shed plans. 12,000. And of course, open now. So there's no getting around this. The email has to be open.
Yeah. 12,000 shed plans inside. Hi. You can easily download over 12,000 fully detailed shed plans. That's more like George Takei. Okay.
Right,
I'll just have to read it, yeah. You can easily download over 12,000 fully detailed shed plans and start building your outdoor shed easily. That's in caps. I've used my shed plans, all one word, to build my own 12x10 storage shed last week for my family.
So let's just stop again. Like, who are you? I mean, you've emailed me out the blue. I don't know you. But, you know, you think I'm interested in your shed. 12,000, again, like, surely if you're the shed connoisseur, you already have a shed. And if you're not the shed connoisseur, how many different designs? I mean, what goes into a garden shed, really? It's just a wooden box with a door on it. I bought a shed last year. The big decision was window or no window. I chose no window because it's a bit safer for the old break-ins. But apart from that, 12,000.
There was a gap in your life, albeit briefly, when this could have been of use to you.
Yeah, but I wanted one shed design. I didn't even want 10 choices. I just wanted a shed.
You wanted a wooden box.
Yeah.
With a roof and a door. You didn't want 12,000, I get that. But that is a niche market when you A, want a shed, but B, don't already have a shed.
So what's next on the email?
Yes. I seldom endorse another product.
Again, who are you and why should I care about that?
Yeah, why should that mean something that they seldom endorse it? Maybe it really is George Decay. He sells a lot of other people's stuff online nowadays. But I'm sure you'll love it if you're into woodworking. Nah. Click here to visit the website. And the best part is, anybody can do it easily with Ryan. Ryan?
Who's Ryan?
With Ryan's easy-to-follow instructions and full-blown photos. Full-blown. It makes it sound like they were taken from space.
Who's Ryan? And why is he the man to do this? Like, what's Ryan got?
Check it out now, it says. Maybe they're showing, not telling.
I love the fact that they've got three hyperlinks all enticing you with different slogans, and they're sort of strategically placed in between the paragraphs.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not getting out of this, are you?
But you got to act fast because this is a time-sensitive offer.
Of course it is.
Why?
I mean, if you've got 12,000 shed designs, I don't imagine there's going to be an epidemic of shed buying.
And their designs. You're not actually buying a physical item that you're going to run out of. But this is a time-sensitive offer.
A time-sensitive design. Like the design will be invalid after a while because there'll be new legislation.
Yeah, ruling out the use of flammable materials when building sheds. This offer will not last forever. If you want to build sheds the easy and faster way, then I urge you to get in while it's cheap.
You know, with the, like, email campaigns and things like that, if you listen to any sort of entrepreneurial podcasts, things like that, they tell you find a problem, find a niche problem and solve it. I don't know if they've found a problem here. They've found a solution, but I don't know if there's a problem because really people are managing with the current shed buying setup, aren't they?
I'm going to put a picture in the Facebook group, and it's taken from a well-known adult magazine in the UK. And there's this picture, and it says, "It's not a shed, it's not a hat. What is it?" And there's like a guy with a shed on his head.
It's the Vez, isn't it?
It's a shed. And it's like the shed hat, which has solved a problem, as you say, when you want a cross between a shed and a hat. Do they call them sheds in the US? We have a lot of listeners in the US, don't we?
See, I call them huts. When I bought a shed, I bought a hut.
That's quite Scottish.
So,
in the hut. Hit the hut.
Anyway,
oh, yeah, they call them huts in the US as well, because you get Pizza Hut, don't you?
I suppose, but it's not your traditional garden hut. I think that's it for this week. Get in touch, like we say, info@yapaudio.co.uk. Join us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter @yapaudio.
And stalk us on Instagram.
Yeah, do that too. Do that too. Like our photos. A lot of selfies.
Any coffee or pasta on there yet?
Not yet, but we'll maybe sort that out after we've finished recording.
Yeah, you can make me a coffee and then I'll take a picture of it.
It's a deal.
Right.
So, take care, you. Enjoy your week and we'll reconvene in 7 days.
And I can't stress enough, get on the Facebook group where you might just see details of this shed hat.